Our scripture reading this morning, if you would turn with me to two passages. We'll be looking at both of them. But the main focus, of course, is on Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek. That is going to be our theme, and so we want to have our finger there in Matthew chapter 5. But I also want to read with us Psalm 37, as these are two very intimately connected passages. And so you remember, context-wise, Matthew chapter 5, as the Lord begins, as our Lord begins the sermon, what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, he begins his public ministry in these chapters in Matthew's Gospel, and where even those specific chapters dealing with that Sermon on the Mount, where it begins actually is with the King of Kings, declaring the blessedness of the kingdom. With the King comes the kingdom, and the first thing that our Lord does is declare the blessedness of that kingdom. And this morning we want to work through the implications of verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, one of the particular blessings of the kingdom. But for background and backdrop, which we will look at a little bit later in the sermon, I want us to also read Psalm 37. And so in light of that statement, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, we read now Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you to the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plot against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends his descendants, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. That is the word of our God. We come this morning to one of the Beatitudes. I don't expect you remember. I keep a little bit of track. We have dealt with the first two as I've had opportunity to be here, and it has been some time, and we pick up on the third. That's the way it goes for me. But we come to this third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we come to a particular passage known as the Beatitudes. It is our Lord, it is the King who is speaking to us of life in the kingdom of heaven, life in the kingdom of God. They're synonymous terms. And the premise that we work with and we must work with as we come to a passage such as this, the Beatitudes, is that in order to understand life in the kingdom, right? This is Jesus laying out kingdom life. Or in order for us to understand life in the kingdom, we must understand that that life and all of its fruits comes to us from the King. We can never, ever divorce the concept of kingdom from King, and King always precedes kingdom. And so here, we, for as much as our Lord is speaking to us about kingdom living, it is the King, our King, who is speaking to us. And he is essentially making the declaration here in the Beatitudes of a blessing, and he's just parting it out, if you will, in the particular Beatitudes, but the blessings of those who truly belong to the King. The Beatitudes simply highlight this. As we think about Paul's words in Ephesians 1, that in him we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Here we have the one in him, that is in the King, from which every spiritual blessing flows. And so this is an essential perspective as we come to a passage like this, the Beatitudes, where we have the King declaring the blessings of the kingdom. And so these blessings come to us from one place, and it is from the King himself. And so this morning we want to deal with the third of these declarations of blessings, the particulars, where Jesus says very clearly, very plainly, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And before we get to the particulars of this beatitude, I think that we have seen enough, and I'll just remind us here very briefly, but as we think about the Beatitudes, the order matters, right? God doesn't do anything kind of by accident. And so the order in which we receive these Beatitudes, they are on purpose. They are given to us in this order for a reason. As we look to the King, as we look to the one who is making these declarations, of course, we began looking at that blessed are the poor in spirit, that we recognize right off the get-go as we think about the Beatitudes, that there is nothing in us. If you think about it as a bank account, it's zero. We have a zero sum by which we can purchase any of these blessings. It's impossible. We have nothing to purchase them with. We are poor in spirit. We recognize ourselves for who we are. And then as we begin to understand who we are in our fallen nature, as God is gracious to us and gives us eyes to see who we are, we come to the second of these Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn. We recognize that the only thing in us, it's not just a zero balance, really. It's a negative bank account. Really, there's nothing in us but sin, right? And the world in which we live is tainted with sin. And so that's part of what it is to come to the King, is to recognize that we have nothing to offer, and what we are actually is sinful. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. These two realities of being poor in spirit and understanding what it is to mourn because of sin, they're necessary for us to begin to understand what it is to be meek. Meekness will elude us if we do not understand experientially, really, not just cognitively, but experientially, if we do not understand what it is to be poor in spirit and to mourn for sin. And so keep that in mind as we work through this third beatitude, that it is given to us in the order in which it comes. That there is a blessing that Jesus is placing upon the meek. And then a glorious promise, right? For they shall inherit the earth. And so as we go through this beatitude this morning, as has been our practice, and it will be, it should be, I would argue, as we come to any of these beatitudes, that we look first to the blessing that is promised. We kind of take this in reverse order, and that's where we're going to start this morning. We are going to look at that promise that Jesus gives, for they shall inherit the earth. And we will see that from there, we can truly begin to understand and define what it is to be meek. We'll get there. Right, but we need to begin first with the blessedness or the blessing that Jesus pronounces here, and that is, for they shall inherit the earth. And so we are focusing here firstly on the inheritance that is promised to those who are united to the King. And in particular, God's faithfulness in bringing that inheritance to pass. So our focus, again, thinking on the King, we lift our eyes to the King before we start looking at what meekness looks like here on the earth, right? And so as we set our eyes afresh this morning on the King, we are reminded that there is an inheritance that is promised to all those who are united to Him, and that God is faithful in carrying that inheritance out. So often, when we study the Beatitudes, and you get this a little bit in different commentaries and Bible studies and such, so often when studying the Beatitudes, the focus immediately becomes on the virtues as they relate person to person, right? And so meekness, right? Blessed are the meek, and we go, I need to be meek because there's blessings attached to being meek, so what does it look like to be meek so that I can be meek? You understand the rationale there. Right, and so often, the focus becomes the virtue, the horizontal, if you will, as it relates person to person. So meekness, generally speaking, and I'm not going to argue or quibble with this, but we'll see, it's not sufficient. Meekness generally is defined as, you know, connected to being gentle. If you're meek, you're gentle. With humility, with being considerate, with being courteous. And all of these kind of serve as synonyms to being meek. And again, I'm not going to argue or quibble about it. They are connected for sure. There's no doubt about it. But they put the focus in the wrong place. They put the focus in the wrong place. We must begin with the King. And then we will start to see that that fruit will necessarily start to flow from there. Right? And so the Lord Jesus here, as he attaches it to the concept of meekness, he attaches the promise of inheriting the earth. Now, we want to focus then on the inheritance. What is, essentially, what is promised here? What is the fact that we will inherit the earth, those who are united to Jesus Christ, right? In a sense, as we think about inheritance, at least as the Word of God speaks to us about it, it speaks to all of God's blessings, right? If you think about this from a human illustration, you say somebody has received an inheritance. They receive an estate, right? That understanding is that it also includes all of the particulars in that estate, right? And so as we think about the inheritance that God promises to those who are united to the King, we're really understanding all of God's blessings, everything. But as we expand that and we think about the bigness of that, at the same time, we can be very specific, right? So as the teaching of God's inheritance, as God's word unfolds on his inheritance, as we read throughout the Bible, if you noticed in Psalm 37, that was the theme of Psalm 37, they will inherit the land, they will inherit the land, they will inherit the land. As you watch this unfold throughout the scriptures, you will see on the one hand, it involves every promise that God makes. But at the center of every one of those particulars, the very essence of that which God promises in terms of the inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus is himself. It is God himself who has been given to us in the King who is here declaring the blessedness of the kingdom. It's the central promise of the covenant of grace. It's the central promise of the gospel. It's the central promise of the scriptures. Yes, the particulars are just the magnitude of the particulars, but it all boils down to God. Right? I will be your God and you will be my people. And then Jesus, as he begins his or carries out his public ministry, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, you know, as he speaks to us in this fallen world, let not your hearts be troubled, he says. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, notice the Lord Jesus doesn't here define for us how many rooms and, you know, what's the color scheme and none of that. The point that Jesus makes here is that I am going to bring you to where I am. Let not your hearts be troubled, because I am going to take you to myself. I know that you're walking and you walk by faith, but one day you'll be in my presence. Peter does the same thing in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, and there's the actual word, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now, we think about what is Peter talking about here. We know that anything associated with this earthly realm, moth and rust can destroy. Peter is talking about an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven. What is in heaven? Or maybe better stated, who is in heaven? The right hand of God the Father, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is this great inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for us. God himself. It is the great promise of the scriptures. The promise of the inheritance that is ours is not, and so often we can kind of fall prey to this, it isn't, we get the world, this inheritance. Man, we're going to be rulers of the world. We get the world. And by the way, yeah, God's got to factor into that somehow. And so we tack God onto that. And then we start asking ourselves the question, you know, what's heaven's going to be like? And I've heard the conversation, you know. People said, you know, can you imagine the iteration of the iPhone we're going to have in heaven? Who cares? Who cares? Right, the inheritance, the focus on the inheritance that the Scripture gives to us is that we get God in all of his glory, in all of his splendor. We exist in his presence without any hindrance of anything. And oh, by the way, we are going to have our renewed bodies and we need somewhere to live, so there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. You notice the emphasis. The emphasis is on God. He is our great reward. The one who is here declaring the blessedness of the kingdom is the one who is being kept in heaven for us. We get God uninterrupted, unhindered. But it even gets better. Paul reminds us that the Lord gives us His Spirit. So we think about the future of what that's going to be, and we long for that glory. We long for that day, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, as he's speaking to us of these things, he reminds us that each one of us that is united to this King, who are made part of this kingdom, have been given the Spirit, have been given the Spirit of the Lord. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, as a guarantee of what? Of this inheritance. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. That He has given His Spirit. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, day by day, month after month, year after year, a guarantee that that which is promised to us is going to come to fruition. A guarantee of that inheritance that is ours. The faithfulness of God to bring about every promise, every nuance of that blessing found in Him. The Father promises it, the Christ purchases it. The Spirit is that the guarantee. It is Trinitarian, it is God who is doing this. And so Paul can say in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Paul was sure of this. You see, as we look to the King, the one who is proclaiming the blessedness of the kingdom, as we look to the King, knowing that there is nothing in us that can serve as the foundation of blessing, knowing that as we look at ourselves, there's nothing there but sin, and so we mourn, but then as we look, continue to look to the King, we look to the one that in Him, every blessing is ours. And God is going to be faithful in bringing us to that glory. And now, as we think of that, we are ready to define what it is to be meek. We are ready to understand what it is that the psalmist lays emphasis of in Psalm 37. And so we have the glory of the promise of our inheritance centered on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of God in the midst of a fallen world. And now we can turn our attention, and we will, to true meekness. What is it to be meek? And again, for this we turn to Psalm 37. You can turn there. We'll look at it for a minute if you wish. Otherwise, you can just listen. But Psalm 37... there's a direct connection. I trust you heard almost as a constant chorus in Psalm 37 the statement of inheriting the earth, the Old Testament statement of this inheritance. And even more specifically in verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. It's almost a direct connection. It's as if Jesus, and I would argue he was, it's as if Jesus was thinking of Psalm 37 when he made this declaration. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth in Psalm 37, 11. There is a direct connection between these two passages. And I don't want to go verse by verse in Psalm 37. We don't have the time, but I do want us to think about the focus of Psalm 37. The whole psalm is speaking about two approaches to life. On the one hand, you have just phrase after phrase, statement after statement regarding the wicked. Defined, let's be clear, defined by those who refuse the Lord. All those who are not with the King or against the King. Right? And so as we kind of boil things down, we are talking about those who are against the King. And the way that they are described, really, it's a description of our fallen heart, what we are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, selfishly seeking to take, to plunder at any cost, to secure what we would think, or the wicked would think, that they deserve in this life. This is what I deserve, and so I'm going to do anything in order to obtain it. And so in verse 7, we have sin for benefit. In verse 12, we have evil schemings in order to get. In verse 14, we have the whole theme of being contentious and combative. Verse 21, greed and theft. Verse 35, interestingly, as we think about, you know, I've seen the wicked in great power spreading himself like a native green tree. That can be translated a laurel. Right, as we think about what a laurel would become, utter pride, right? Look at me, the victor's laurel, right? Pride, utter pride, utter selfishness, the me, more me. I'm going to do all of these things in order to satisfy something in me that I think I need or want or deserve. Psalm 37, all of those verses, just a litany of statements of the fallen human heart, the selfishness of that heart, a description of the world's recipe for success. It doesn't matter when you live, doesn't matter what era you live in, it doesn't matter. This is the world's recipe for success. If I don't take it, it's not going to be given to me. If I don't look out for me, no one will. And we will couch this in kindness and generosity as long as it doesn't interfere with me and mine, right? And so if speaking nicely is going to get your way, we speak nicely. The moment that we think we're not going to get our way, the knives come out, right? I mean, that's the human heart. Psalm 37 tells us in no uncertain terms what the real outcome of the selfish person will be. Verse 20, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish. There is no question as to where that road ends. But on the other hand, there are those who look to God. There are those who look to God in the person of his King, the Lord Jesus. They Old Testament, they long for him. Here we are talking about a passage where he has come, he has taken on flesh, and he is declaring the glorious blessedness of the kingdom. Those who embrace the promise of granting to his people the inheritance of the Lord. Again, think of the theme of Psalm 37. They shall inherit the land, they shall inherit the land, they shall inherit the land. The promise of God's inheritance. Now look at, again, in contrast to the wicked, look at how Psalm 37, how David describes these people. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Verse 7, wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 9, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You see something unfolding, and we could just keep going through Psalm 37. It is those who are looking to the Lord, looking to his promises, rejoicing in his faithfulness. The beginning of meekness is found when we begin to realize not only that we cannot bring ourselves into a state of true blessing, but also that our God in Christ Jesus, the King, will. The meek are those who trust in the Lord, who delight in the Lord, who wait patiently for the Lord to fulfill every one of his promises, centering on himself. We don't have to win every battle. We don't have to win every argument. We don't have to be the best at everything. We don't have to speak the most eloquently from every. We don't have to. None of that is necessary to what Jesus is talking about in terms of the blessedness. It is already ours in Christ Jesus. There is nothing or no one that can take that from us. Now that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to excel in certain things. Of course not. That's not what I'm saying. But we don't have to be the best, the brightest, the fastest. We don't have to win the most arguments. We don't have to have a majority of government. We don't have to have any of those things. None of them. For this to be true. And so as we look to the Lord, there's the meekness. It's not in us. We don't have to do it ourselves. The Lord has promised. And so Psalm 37, time and time and time again, be patient, wait on the Lord, trust in the Lord. Meekness. It's not softness. It's not weakness. It is those who look to the Lord, who trust in Him, who wait upon Him, who look to Him, who know that He will be faithful in all things, that none of this depends on me or on us. It is to be meek. And this is what presents, and again, as I said, I gave you the kind of working definition before, this is what produces a gentle and humble strength. Knowing that our King will be faithful. We can be gentle because we don't have to force it. We can be humble. We must be humble because we know that we can't. And this is why with meekness you get gentleness and courteousness and humbleness and those kind of synonyms around it. But you see where it flows. It's not us waking up in the morning going, oh, I need to be more meek. If that's what we're going to try to do, actually, it's going to be what is going to happen is the opposite. I need to be more meek, and so I'm going to do anything and everything that I need to do to be meek. It doesn't work. Right? We begin with the King. He's declaring the blessedness of the kingdom. As we look to Him, as we grow in Him, as we trust in Him and rest in Him, meekness begins to flow. The blessedness of being the Lord's. And it is such, I think it is such an encouragement. When this perspective kind of takes root, takes hold, and it's not an indifference, but it is, there is nothing or no one who can either bring about better blessings, there's no one who can stand in the way of these blessings. It is the Lord who is working this out. And so we look to Him. And so He says to us, as we look to Him, as we are found in Him, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us pray together. O Lord, our great and glorious God in heaven, we bow before You this morning, and we are so grateful to be Your people. We are grateful to be reminded of Your mercy and Your grace and Your patience and Your kindness and Your long-suffering coupled with Your glorious power. There is no one or nothing that can compare to You. And we are grateful to gather here in Your name, and we are grateful to have such a King set over us. We thank You for the reminder this morning that truly everything is ours as we look to the Lord Jesus. And so first and foremost, Lord, as we think about the implications of this, we confess to You that so often we are not meek, where we take things and act as if everything depends on us. We pray, Lord, that You would forgive us for this pride and that You would give us eyes afresh to behold the glory of our King. For as we look to Him, as we grow in Him and walk in Him, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that He is sufficient for all things. And so we pray for eyes to behold once again Your glory, O God, as we look to the face of the Lord Jesus. And we ask these things in His name. Amen.